This is X8 Anderson. Welcome to another edition of the Principal Podcast. Today, I am thrilled to have Nikki Truesdale with us. She is the author of the book, Anyone Can Homeschool. She's a blogger, she's a speaker, she's a book lover. She's a second generation homeschooler. Nikki, thank you for being on the show with us today.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
So one of the things that I ran into Nikki's content on X, formerly Twitter, and was very, very impressed with her take on parenting and homeschooling. And I just had to reach out. Luckily, we were lucky enough to get her on the show today. Tell us a little bit about homeschooling and how, like, what it means to you. You were homeschooled as a youth. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, sure. I was homeschooled starting in the 80s when I was 11 years old. My mom and dad took my sister and me both out of school. They were introduced to homeschooling by a local couple, and they instantly felt like this was for our family. And so I began the homeschool journey way back then and loved it. I really did like it as a kid. And this was back way before the modern homeschooling era. So people did actually worry about socialization back then and things like that. But it was such a neat time for our family. You know, it was a way to bond closer, but it also gave my sister and me a lot of free time to develop our interests and just grow in a way that you can't when you're always at school. And so I knew that when I became a parent, that's what I was going to do too. I wanted to homeschool my kids. And so I began homeschooling my oldest daughter around the year 2000. So this is the 25th year for our family because I still have kids at home. And I think when I first began as a homeschool mom, I saw it as, you know, obviously we want a better academic education and we want our children raised with the scriptures. But over 25 years, you can imagine how much has changed that's really added to that list of why we homeschool. And so now I just look at the news and I think, I'm so glad we homeschool. You know, it's not like the parents who are seeing some of the crazy stuff out there and thinking, I've got to do something. You know, I'm able to say, I'm so thankful that my parents set this example for me so many years ago and made it possible and made it look possible and doable. And so, you know, I can tell you some stories in a little bit, if you'd like, about how I came to write the book, Anyone Can Homeschool. But really, it did come out of one problem after another. You know, life just threw a lot of different obstacles in my way. And I figured out how to keep homeschooling no matter what. And it wasn't easy. Things were very difficult. But one after the other, you know, we just overcame, or we homeschooled in spite of difficulties. And so after many years in, I was able to start telling other people, no, you can do this, even if you have that problem, even if you're a single mom, even if you have no money, all of these things, because I did it and I know it was possible. And so now that's what I spend most of my time doing, is just telling people, yep, it's possible. And you can do it. It's not anything like you think it is. And you'll be glad that you did.
And I love that. And I think there are many parents who have that trepidation. They're a little nervous and they're not really thrilled with what's going on in schools, but they're kind of like, oh goodness, am I able to do this? Mm-hmm. And your message to them is, well, yeah, you can, right?
Of course,
and
you can.
You can do it. One other thing really quick I wanted to just ask you about, you know, they say that the best outcomes with children happen when the parents act as the CEOs of their children education. In other words, there's this mindset in the world today that we just have to drop our kids off to the nearest government-run school.
Right.
That's just simply not true, right? We can decide to if we want to. If there's a great school in the area and we want to outsource to that school, we can do that. Or we could decide to homeschool them, or we could decide to send them to a part charter school, part homeschool, or a co-op or whatever. But when a parent steps up as a CEO, that's when they have the best outcomes. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And I think parents are just afraid of that. It feels like I'm doing something wrong if I take complete control of my child's education, because in America, you know, for a century or more, it's just been so common that you send them somewhere to be educated. But parents absolutely have what they have the ability, even the parents that don't think they do, they have that within them. Like you said, it doesn't just mean now I'm a teacher and I have a classroom. It just means that you're facilitating whatever that's going to look like for your kids. And it still might be getting help outside your home, but you're the one making the decisions. And that's what's, I do think having the parent in charge of those decisions instead of the state makes all the difference.
Totally makes all the difference. And I hope that every parent out realizes that the government does not own your children. You are the CEO. You may decide to outsource to a school if you want, but you also may decide to homeschool. And I love that people like yourself, Nikki, are, especially with the book you wrote, are willing to help parents get that confidence. That's wonderful. Let me ask you a question. I was talking to my brother, and he's really into education, and he said, you know, one of the things that people don't realize is that intelligence is correlated with the number of turns in a conversation. In other words, if your child comes to you and says, "Hey, I don't understand this math problem," and then you say, "Well, what do you not understand?" That's one turn. And then when they say, "Well, this is the concept I don't understand," there's another turn. And when you go back and forth like that, you say, "Okay, well, let me show you how to do it. Let me show you how to carry the numbers, or let me show you how to do slopes, or whatever it is that you're teaching." The more turns that you go back and forth, they're co correlated with intelligence. And sometimes you send a kid to a school, and they might just sit in a class where there's almost no turns in the conversation. Whereas in homeschool, you might have more turns in an hour than they
Oh,
had
wow.
the entire day of school.
Yes, I've written a blog post about this, where I talk about the fact that conversation is one of the most important parts of homeschooling, just that personal relationship that you have with your kids. And a lot of times it doesn't look like school and it doesn't feel like school, but it's amazing how much conversation you get with your kids when they're at home, as opposed to them being gone all day. And the most conversation you have at night is, what'd you do? How was your day? Do you have any homework? You know, if you're lucky, you get 30 minutes to an hour, or maybe they've gone off to practice for a sport or, you know, music or whatever. But there's so much that they're missing out on with you if they're not at home with you. And it's not even something you can plan, and you shouldn't try to plan it. But just especially with teenagers, but really all ages. I remember my older son when he was 4 asked 100,000 questions, you know, every single day. And answering those questions could be kind of mind-numbing sometimes, but you're also imparting so much information to a little kid, and they're listening because they wanted to know. So now's the time, you know, to give them that. But even as a teenager, when I have one son right now doing, you know, personal finance for his math, and he's always asking questions about things that come up in that, you know, the real world stuff. And so I just explain, this is how we do it. This is what dad and I did. Or, you know, this is why. Here's something that you didn't realize about buying a house or whatever. And just those conversations, it just, like you said, it takes it to another level. He's got the math book, he's got the instructions and the video, but now he gets parental input too. And it might be the same, might be a little bit different, but it is that extra layer. And just imagine multiplying that times all the topics that they study throughout their education, and you being the one to, you know, go deeper into whatever they ask or whatever it is that you feel is important enough to share. It's pretty cool.
And then you're the one who's actually building that relationship. You know, it's so interesting. Our children, the time we have with our children really is so short, isn't it?
It is. I'm on the other end of that now. My two youngest, they're 14 and 16, but I have adult children that are in their 20s, and I have grandkids now. And, you know, my daughter will tell me that her toddler is fussy every afternoon and she can't get anything done. And I just think, I miss that. You know, it was so hard then, but it goes by so quickly. And then you look up one day and everybody's grown and they don't need you as much as they used to. And you miss it. And then you realize how important all those hours were. And that's the big thing, that it does go by quickly. And yeah, you have a lot of fun, but even the hard stuff is important. And you have an opportunity to share the really hard stuff with them, or the really important stuff, only for a short window, and then it's over.
Well, and it's so, and it, homeschooling gives you the opportunity to be there and build those bonds and relationships so much more. You know,
Yes.
I think one of the major obstacles is parents just think, can I really do this? And they feel like they have to have, a bunch of road desks and a curriculum exactly put together. And if it's not perfect, then I better just outsource it to the state. And what can I do? What would you tell parents who are thinking that?
I would say that what you know now as education is kind of the 20th century model, but it's a very new model and it's not the most efficient. But we're so trained in that idea that it has to look a certain way and it has to start at a certain age and take so many hours a day. And you need to have a college degree because you can't possibly do this without it. All of that stuff is a very recent invention in education throughout the world. Even in American history, up until about the 20th century, it was much more random. It was not standardized. Education was shared from parents, from pastors, from teenage girls on the American prairie. I mean, it looked so many different ways. And despite not having a standard education or teaching degrees up to this point, we built a nation, and Americans invented so many things that we still use today. And when you read the way people used to write in the 1600s and 1700s and 1800s, and you think they did this without standard education, without any government telling them how to teach or how to educate, they didn't have near the amount of curriculum that we have now, and they certainly didn't set up a classroom in their kitchen. How did they manage that? And the reason is because there's not one way to do it right. And it's scary to think that way. Like, I need a checklist. I need to know exactly when to start and where to start and how much to do. It's comfortable to have that and it's all available to you now. But for the parent who thinks, I don't know any of that, just realize that there were so many hundreds and thousands of parents like that, just like you before the 20th century, and they raised the people that made America. And my own personal history is very similar. My mom dropped out of high school in the ninth grade and did not go back. But when she and my dad were introduced to homeschooling, they were also told it doesn't matter what your education level is. It matters how much you are convicted and how willing you are to do this. And that was true. And so with a ninth grade education, and my dad had a high school diploma, they started homeschooling. And it was true that they didn't need to know everything. They didn't need to have a background in every subject or even a teaching degree or even a high school diploma to be able to share with us because they got curriculum and they understood how to read. They knew how to read and to open a teacher guide and to help figure out the answers, And so it's just a mindset that Americans have, and I understand it. We've all been raised in this society, but it's not the only way and it's not the best way. And so don't let that fear of, this right way keep you from experiencing everything we've been talking about so far, the relationship and sharing your worldview with your kids, because that's really what's important. The scope and sequence can look a lot of different ways, but it's the relationship and sharing a worldview and giving your kids a foundation to learn whatever they want to.
Thanks for sharing that, Nikki. I love that. And to add on that, I want to share a story that you made me think of while you were sharing that. My brother did go to Harvard and got a degree in educate. He got a degree in education from Harvard. So whenever we chat, we're always chatting about education. And one time I remember we were chatting, and the question came up, what would be the best way to educate somebody if you had no limit on resources, if you had all the money and time or whatever you had? And the idea came up, well, what if you could follow around the person that you wanted to be like? Okay, so let me give you an example. Let's just say you wanted to be a hedge fund manager, which is happens to be the top paid person in the world. Okay, well, right now you'd have to go jump through all these hoops, which is I'd have to go to probably an Ivy League school, get a great score on a GMAT, then I'd have to put in my 2 decades and do all this. And eventually, maybe in 20, 30 years, if I did everything and worked my way up, I could be a hedge fund manager. But what if there was a different way? What if you were able to just follow that person around? Like you could sit in there, all the boardrooms, all the meetings, all the phone call, how do they hire? How do they fire? When do they buy? When do they sell? What's the criteria that they're looking for? Do you think you could learn more quickly? And the answer was, yeah, I bet you could learn a lot more quickly. Maybe even just that,
Probably.
you could probably learn how to be a good hedge fund manager in a very short amount of time compared to the long track. And after we had this conversation, as I was sitting at a stoplight, this hit me kind of like a truck. I thought, you know what? The best way to educate has been around for thousands of years. It's called parenting. Our
Yeah.
kids get to follow us around and learn from us
Right.
important things. And that right there is really to see a parent. And so that puts some responsibility on us. Like, we want to be good examples for our children, but it also says, you know what? I need to do the very best I can to be a good example to my kid, to my child. But also, the best way to teach is kind of already built in our
It
families.
is. And you know what's cool about that? I think some people are, I mean, education and society has made us think, well, all kids need to be standard. They all have to follow this list, and every kid must learn all these things on this list. Instead of letting them kind of develop their interests and their talents, and I just think in the homeschool community, you know, I've been in it my whole life, so I've seen this stuff. Parents who are good at something teach their kids to be good at that thing because it's just natural. Like you said, they're just following them around. And so I like to sew, and I've been making quilts. And so all three of my daughters make quilts. Other families don't do that, and that's okay. Other families raise bees and sell honey, or you know, they're engineers and they join robotics teams and all of that. There's no possible way I could do that. You know, that's not me. And so if my kids had an interest and there was a way to do it, then yeah, I could also enroll them in a group or a class. But the natural stuff is also very important because it's passing on things that maybe the school system would never have allowed or ever thought of, but it's a natural way to learn. And my daughters, it's not like they've decided to be professional quilters, but they know how to make a quilt. And they do occasionally. Same thing with, you know, any other thing that isn't an interest in our home, it's passed on to our kids, or our, you know, the things that we're good at, we're good enough to teach our kids how to do them. And then other families do different things. But you have a widely varied community of people instead of everybody raised on a conveyor belt system.
I like
And I think it scares people when you say, you know, it's okay if your kid doesn't learn STEM, you know? Because maybe they're better at literature. You know, it's okay not to fall into this, you know, like I said, the conveyor belt where everything comes out standard. We don't want that. That's not what makes an interesting world. So yeah, just do what you do and show your kids everything you do and let them learn alongside you, and they'll pick it up too.
Thank you for sharing that, Nikki. Now, for some, let's just say that some parents say, well, let's flip this the script just a little bit. Let's just say that some parents say, well, I do want my kids to learn STEM, but I'm not good at it. And in my, I can share my thoughts on this, and I'd love to hear your thoughts. You know, you can still in a homeschool co-op or even another setting, you can kind of find the strengths of other people who are maybe in the
Yes.
homeschooling community, say, hey, you know what? This isn't my strength, but could you help me with this? Or, and I'll share something too. My wife and I have homeschooled, but we've also done kind of a mix. Like, there was a, let me give you one example. There was a, in our area, there are some schools that do immersion for language. And we thought
Yeah.
it was helpful for our kids to go to learn language. Well, we went down to the school district and we asked them, we said, you know what? We would like to be able to put our children in for part of the immersion classes, but the rest, we're going to homeschool. And they said, well, we don't typically do this. And we were really nice and hopefully persuasive. And they said, we'll make an exception for you. And they let us do it. So in that way, we said, okay, we said, send our kids to some place where we weren't as good at. Like, I can't teach them this certain language we want. But then we were able to homeschool on things that we felt better about. What's your take on that? Being able to kind of outsource the things that you feel are important that maybe you're not good at? Because I'm sure that's a real concern for some parents.
Oh, I think it's a concern for every parent because there's always something that, I mean, most people have a gift in science and math or the language arts, you know, or just the arts, you know, and so that's me. For math and science, it's never been something I enjoyed, and it's certainly not been anything that I was an expert in. I love history. I love language. You know, I love reading and writing. And so for those other subjects, There have been multiple ways that we've handled it. We use video curriculum for math. Some of our science is with videos, but we also have, we live in a rural, small rural area of North Texas, but we have so many opportunities, probably because our homeschool community has been around for over 30 years. But we have at least three, four co-ops in our area. And I'm talking, we've got a population of about 20,000. We have at least three or four co-ops. There is a worldview group that meets, and they study history and literature, the classical, classical education method. Then there is a couple that is retired from homeschooling and retired public school teachers, and they are both scientists, and so they teach science courses with all the experiments once a week. And then there have been in the past people that taught algebra and the higher math classes, and so. Because homeschooling is organic, there's no one thing that you can choose from. It depends on where you live and your homeschool group and the people that are willing to just jump out there and teach things. But because of all of this, all five of my kids have had very different education based on what their needs were and what I felt like outsourcing for them. And so I had my oldest daughter learned cake decorating and Irish dance and paper marbling, things like that from our co-op 15, 20 years ago that my younger kids don't have, but they're doing other things, And so, yes, if you find a source for something, use it. And the 21st century has made it's amazing. Everything is available. Everything is available if you just search. And that includes online courses, whether they're live or previously recorded. But even when I was a homeschooler in the 80s, my uncle was my science and math tutor. So start local. Ask someone in your family or your neighborhood or your church. If there's not a class, get creative and say, I just need an algebra tutor for my child. Where can I find that? I think that's what makes homeschooling so flexible and so cool is that it can be all kinds of things. It can be you staying at home 5 days a week and doing all the lessons at home or outsourcing everything, but you're the one in control. Like you said, sort of the CEO. And you say, we're going to pick that and that and that and that. And every day of the week, we might not be here, but we are getting our education.
I love that. I love that. And being able to be flexible. And you're right, in the 21st century, you can almost find anything you want online. I mean, you
Anything.
can see videos that just to go step by step how to do this particular algebra problem or this particular
Exactly.
trigonometry problem. So if you're not feeling strong in a particular science or math or even another subject, there are things you could do to say, okay, well, let's look it up. Let's research it. How can we learn this? And there's so many sources available. What even if there's not somebody right there in your community or in your circle or your co-op or somebody? Is that right?
Yes. In fact, homeschool curriculum companies are really good about this because there's a lot of mom and pop companies that they've grown beyond the size of a mom and pop, but they still operate like one. And so many times you can actually call the math company, the ones that created the curriculum, and they have a helpline. And you can say, we're on this one problem that we just can't figure out. We've looked at the instruction manual and the answers. Can you help us? And they'll pick up the phone and they'll answer it and they'll say, let me help you, and they'll walk you through it. So it's not like some giant corporation that you don't even have access to. These are people that have created something specifically for homeschool parents to teach subjects that are not maybe their, like I said, their best subject. And they want you to succeed and they make it as easy as possible. Like I said, videos, we've always done. Math you see, or almost always, which starts you with a video lesson, but I have the answer key. And so if my son can't figure something out, I go to the answer key and I go, oh, that makes sense. Now let me show you, And so you don't have to be an expert in anything, honestly, because the curriculum options are so good.
And then you can learn together, which makes it a really interesting time. That's great.
I tell you what, I've been in this homeschool world for 40 years, and all these years I've heard this thing parents say, I never liked history, but now I love it. Or I never even knew this. Now I get it. It makes sense. Division, long division makes sense. Or the periodic table, I get it now. All kinds of things. Parents are able to learn something that they may not have ever learned before, or they didn't get it, or they hated it. And As a homeschool parent, it's amazing how much it changes the parent's life too. It's really cool.
Gosh, I love that, Nikki. Thanks for sharing. One of the other things that comes to mind as we talk about homeschooling, sometimes the stuff that you have to do normally in everyday life, you can make it into a homeschooling experience. Like if you have to go shopping and you say, okay, we need to buy some peanut butter here. Let's find out what's the best price per ounce. How do we figure that out? You could almost make that into like a math lesson while you shop for,
Is a math.
peanut butter or jelly at this grocery store and teach them real world application to the math or something like that. I also, I got to tell you, my wife and I, because I'm able to do a lot of my work remotely, we decided when we actually had our kids in a school for a while, we decided we're going to pull them out and we're going to take a 6-week trip across the southern United States. So we did go through the great state of Texas where you're at, and we also went through Louisiana and we went all the way and we saw something like this, the Houston Space Center. We
Oh,
saw
cool.
some of the Space Center in Huntsville because our kids did have that interest. We were able to go to some of the Civil War sites. We were going to all these states and be able to see. And it was much more, I got to tell you, I think they learned more on that trip than they ever would have in school.
They
Meeting
remember it
people.
better.
Yeah, you're going to see the crocodile, the alligator places in Louisiana, and being able to see the actual in New Orleans and Florida and all these things. And I think you can. There's some things you can do to just make it an adventure and fun. And it's not just, hey, we're gonna, never talk to anybody. And I think people have this idea that if you homeschool, you're just this recluse who's not going to do anything. In reality, that socialization, sometimes the homeschool kid, in fact, I'd probably say most of the time, the homeschool kids are better socialized. If you want to use that term, then people who've been put through, as you say, the standard cookie cutter, like let's just produce one kind of person and that's the way we're going to do it.
Yes. Well, I tell people now. The socialization question's been around since I was 11 and before. Anybody that homeschooled has ever been asked, what about it? And now I tell people I homeschool because of the socialization. I homeschool because we want to be in charge of choosing what kind our kids get. And I honestly don't believe that the public school is the best way to be socialized. And any kid that's been in middle school could agree with me. You know, it's not easy. It's difficult, it's stressful. And I mean, for some kids it's fun, but for not for most kids, it's difficult. And even if they have a great time, there's so many layers to that now, especially now when kids have the internet on their little devices and you can't control what all their friends are looking at and showing you. And I mean, it's way beyond anything we ever had to deal with as kids ourselves.
That's right.
But yeah, it's funny because people are just thinking, do your kids get to play games with other kids? I think that's what comes to mind. It's like, don't your kids get to have any fun? Yes, they do. Tomorrow is a very normal day in our little town, and the kids have a co-op in the morning and cotillion at night. And as soon as co-op is over, everybody goes to eat lunch together, and then they go home and they get dressed and showered and put on their nice clothes for cotillion, where they have etiquette lessons with a formal dinner and then dancing lessons, and they love it. And it goes on till about 10, and then they want to go out for ice cream afterwards. They're having fun. They go because they love it. And so this notion that, oh, my kids don't get to play games or they don't get to have friends, it's just weird. It's like people haven't even really thought about what they're saying because we don't lock them in the basement. They are allowed out of the house. And in fact, they have a much more varied social life than the average public schooler because they get to go different places with different groups of people at any time of the week. You just never know. And so, but to me, socialization is not games at school, you know, or just having a friend. It's learning how to live in a society among people and to be a citizen and I haven't seen a whole lot of that being taught in public school, but it's certainly not just throwing kids together in the same building day after day. That's not socialization at all. So, like
Right.
you said, there's fun. We get to have fun and we get to choose the fun and schedule it ourselves. So it's a much better form of socialization.
That's right. And most of the quote unquote socialization that occurs in school, a lot, or at least a good portion of it, is bullying. It's peer pressure. It's as you said, sometimes kids being exposed to things on phones that no parent would want their kids exposed to. And And again, I was reverting back to this conversation I had, or conversations that I've had with my brother. My understanding is that the research shows that the kids will be about as social as the parents. So if you as a parent can go to church or to your neighborhood and carry on a conversation, and if you can be social, and maybe you invite people over to your home for dinner from time to time or whatever. They're going to be about as social as the parents. So make yourself social, and if the parents are really reclusive, then the kids may be reclusive as all. But the best
And
thing you
there's
can,
nothing wrong with that.
and if and that's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that you can decide how you want to raise your children, right? So whether that's to be a little less social or more social, but if you're worried about the socialization, realize that you are the main contributor. So work on you, and your kids will probably follow, right?
I think it's hard. And pretty much any homeschool subtopic that comes up, it kind of comes down to the fact that this society is used to just the state handles it for us. The school does that. They do the sports and the music and playground games and everything you could think of for kids, it's all done at the school. And so it is a different mindset when you don't use the school and you're in charge of all that. And so, yeah, you do have to realize it's on you now, but that's a good thing. That's what parents should want. They should want to be the ones making these decisions and personalizing all aspects of their child's education. And again, like you said, if a parent is more of an introvert, then the kids may live that kind of lifestyle. The extroverted families are gonna all be extroverted. And that is okay. That's something else that again we tend to think, well, no, that's not right. You shouldn't be like that. You should be like this. But we've all been created a certain way. We all have personalities given us by God. And so if they're all different, that's okay. It's okay for some families to not participate in anything if they don't want to, and for
Not
others
only
to
okay, it's
participate in everything.
desirable to be different. Yeah, sorry.
It is. Yeah. Individuals. Let's all be individuals instead of having to, measure up to some arbitrary standard.
Absolutely. Nikki, this is great. How can people find you if they say, gosh, I want to get your book, or I want to learn more from you? Where can people find you?
The first place to go is just my website, which is my name, nikkitruesdale.com. And that is where I blog mostly. I've been blogging since 2009, so there's a lot of content there. And anytime I'm a guest on a podcast like this, it's also linked up there. And I have a page that's just called Homeschool 101, and I've listed most of my blog posts in sort of categories. So if someone is just thinking, okay, I think I'm ready to try homeschooling, or at least need to do some more research, I've tried to put those blog posts there so that it's easy to scroll through and do your research. You can just sit back for a couple hours and read. The link to my book is there, but it's on Amazon, Kindle, and Audible, so it's easy to find. And I'm on X and Facebook and Instagram, also just under my name. So
And
pretty
that's
much
Nikki,
wherever.
Nicki Truesdell, Truesdell, correct?
That's right.
That's so nikkitruesdell.com. Anyone can homeschool. We'll put that in the show notes. And for anyone, it seems to me anyone who's considering this, I mean, homeschooling is not easy, but it's definitely, would you say that? But it may be easier
Yes.
than you're thinking it is, right?
That's exactly right. It is easier than you think, but it's not a breeze. You still, the thing is, you're still parenting. And so you're still going to have your kids disagree with what you're telling them or throw a fit because they don't want to do this today. I mean, this isn't going to make your kids automatically easy to raise, but it's just such a deeper level of parenting. And so it is worth it. But I would remind people that when you get started, you might be thinking, hey, I've got this wonderful schedule and these beautiful books, and let's sit down and we're going to love it. And then the first day is a disaster. That happens a lot. But your kids are having to, learn something new just alongside you. And so remember your parenting and throwing something new into their lives is going to be a little bit of a probably a disturbance to some kids, especially if they've been in public school. And so definitely remember the parenting part. That's not going to go away during school hours. I think for me, that's the hardest part. It always has been, just like attitudes or kids who are tired or I'm tired and I don't want to do this today. much harder than the schoolwork, much harder than the academics, because that is kind of all figured out for you. But it's a little bit more about, being diligent and sticking with it and realizing having a long-term view of why you're doing this. And in fact, that's what I recommend most people start with, is write down why you really want to homeschool and kind of come up with a vision for your future, your kids' future, and keep adding to it. Because when you have those bad days, it's good to remind yourself, what are we doing here? Why did we even try this? Because you probably do have a good reason for why you're even thinking about it, and you don't want to forget that.
Absolutely. And like anything in life, the stuff that's really worth it is not necessarily the easy stuff. I mean, the stuff that comes easy is not, but what it's definitely worth it. I mean, having children, let's be honest, it can be very
Hard
difficult.
work.
But would any of us ever trade our children? No. I mean,
Nope.
we love and adore our children, and it's worth every minute. And so I guess that's kind of the message. And so any of our audience out there who's thinking about it, but not a little unsure, goodness, feel free to reach out to Nikki. She's been an inspiration to me personally on X. Thank you for generating
You.
such great content. And again, you can reach her at Nikki Truesdell with Nikki with an I and Truesdell, TRUESDELL.com. And anyone can homeschool is her book. We'll put that in the show notes. Thank you so much, Nikki, for being on the show today. We
Thank
appreciate
you.
you. And for those of you who are thinking about it, just do it. Good luck. You can do this.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Nikki.